Next item is Burles Bay Improvement Association, 061231. This is the...
Same project. This is for the subaqueous permit portion of the project. Basically, you're going to see same slides again. The only change in the language here is I've removed the appeal part. This is just request for authorization by the association for the pier structures, as you saw. Again, same location. As noted in a previous staff evaluation, a brief history of the ownership of the activities may be warranted. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but I'm going to go through it a little quicker than I did before at the previous hearing and a little longer than I did just a minute ago. Basically, the portion of land we discussed earlier is the acre that's owned by the association. The association obtained the ownership of the property from the county in 1959. There's not to be appeared to be any transfer of ownership of any of the offshore structures included in that transaction. Going back even further than the transfer of the acre, in July 6th of 1925, Mr. Edwin T. Poole received a court order for the right and privilege of erecting a wharf at the county landing at Burles Bay, on the condition, however, that the public shall have the right to the said wharf by payment of charges. And it lists the individual charges for passengers and offloading of freight. Of course, it was still, in 1925, it was a county landing. The county owned the land, too, adjacent to it. The wharf that was authorized was to begin 30 feet south of the northern property line and extend 400 feet, more or less, with a 40-foot by 40-foot L-head, based upon drawings submitted to the court. It is unclear what was actually constructed after that, but according to a history of the structures that was provided to us by the Scott family, who claimed to be the current owners of the remnant pilings, everything that existed at the site was destroyed in 1933 during an unnamed hurricane of that year. A new building was constructed again by Mr. Poole in 1934 using some of the original pilings, and an additional walkway channelward of the building was added, and bathhouses for both men and women. The structure built in 1934 apparently had dimensions of approximately 64 by 64 feet, which was larger than the 40 by 40 wharf that was originally authorized by the court, and was approximately 125 feet channelward of mean low water. Again, the building was in excess of what the court had authorized. Mr. Poole continued to conduct the business. After his death, it was sold to a number of different people, went through a number of different hands, and we get up to the 1960s. By this time, the bathhouses were gone, and most of the offshore pier portion was also gone. In the early 80s, it was sold again, eventually landing into the ownership of the Davis family, and Scott, Bracy and Davis, Forrest Scott family. It was then renovated and used basically as sort of a family retreat. Throughout all these transfers, it appears that only the structures themselves were transferred. There was never any severing of riparian area of the county acre, or once it became privately owned by the association, no severing of the riparian rights. They just got the structures out in the water. In 1995, DMRC received an application from the Scott and Bracy families requesting authorization to construct a 110-foot long by 7-foot wide non-riparian pier with a 40-foot by 30-foot T-head platform that would extend channelward of the existing building structure. Staff recommended denial at the time due to the size and the lack of water dependency. The commission, however, did approve the application. During Hurricane Isabel, the entire structure was destroyed, leaving only the remnant field, which is basically, again, seen that, what you see in this photograph. As I noted earlier in the previous presentation, the Scott family did request to rebuild the structure, citing Governor Warner's executive orders of 58 and 66. Staff wrote to Mr. Scott in August of 2004, indicating DMRC did not believe the structures met the requirements of the executive orders. Mr. Scott was sent an additional letter on December the 3rd of 2004, informing him that if he wished to pursue construction of any structure at this location, submission of a joint permit application would be required, and again, as of this date, did not receive any application. While VMRC has not received a direct objection from either the Bracey or Scott families, it is apparent from their testimony at both public hearings at the Isle of Wight County Wetlands Board that they object to the proposed activities of the association in this application. Their objections include safety and access concerns in the event that they were able to obtain approval to reconstruct any structures in the footprint of the old dance hall building and associated pier. Again, the VIMS report indicates minimal individual and cumulative adverse impacts. The health department has signed off on the projects and no other agencies have commented. In summary and recommendation, staff believes that the only safety issues at the site appear to be attributable to the remaining remnant pilings for which the Scott and Bracey families continue to assert an ownership interest. As noted earlier, we have directed under a separate action removal of these pilings pursuant to the Code of Virginia, finding that they pose a significant hazard to the general public as they currently exist. You will note in your packet, we did receive a letter from item number 7 from Mr. Woodrow Crook, who represented the Bracey Scott family at the hearing. He is requesting that we hold in abeyance the removal of the pilings within 60 days and that the Tracy and Scott family will be submitting a joint permit application. We have not yet received it, but that letter does indicate that, just for your information. So, based on the fact that the association owns the upland at this location, and the proposed pier and slips would be within their riparian area, staff recommends approval, as proposed in the drawings that you've seen. We also recommend a royalty of $4,860 for the encroachment of 3,240 square feet over state-owned subaqueous bottom land at a rate of $1.50 per square foot. That includes the pier structures and the bold outline of the slip structures, since there's never been a this type of structure at this location before. Again, I don't believe the applicant's here. I believe the protestant is here, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Mr. Schick.
The inland part of the pier, who removed those pilings?
I don't really know whether they were removed or the hurricane removed them, or the Bracey Scott family may be able to answer that.
I mean, because if they were broken off, that would still pose a possible hazard as far as if they were under the water line there.
Yes. I mean, our directive would be, you know, anything that's there, whether it's above or below the waterline, that poses a hazard, be removed under that letter that we sent.
Okay.
Just for informational purposes, Mr. Schick, this area was one of the most severely impacted areas in our county during the course of Hurricane Isabel. Mm-hmm. It's almost in a punch bowl type situation where the both the wave and the wind energy. As a matter of fact, the wind literally peeled that entire structure, and it's proven, if I'm not mistaken, in court that the wind actually removed the entire structure from those pilings. So who can only suspect exactly? I mean, that's what happened. I just want to give you an idea how strong the wind energy was through there at that time.
There were structures from about here all the way down off the slide here of small cottages, and as you can see, they're all gone except this one is a concrete block structure. These were up a little bit up a hill, but there were structures all on here. They're all basically completely gone or in a heap.
Okay, right.
And the ones at the lower end have been cleaned up, but they were all destroyed too. There was a restaurant here actually, down at
right there.
That includes
Baller's Bay House. Any other questions for Ben? The applicant is not present.
I do not believe so. Come in.
Mr. Crook here?
I don't believe Mr. Crook is here either.
Okay. The opponents, Mr. Scott?
Mr. Crook had previous the commitment that on the short notice we got of the meeting, he was not able to reschedule.
A lot of people complain it takes too long to get here.
I have
It's Mr. Crook.
So I'm going to speak in place of him, but I wrote it out so that I
can hand them out for you.
I won't ramble the rant. And I have a copy there for you and the other commission members.
Mr. Scott, before you start, need you to raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you, sir. State your name and whom you represent,
I'm
sir.
I'm R. Forrest Scott. I live in Smithfield, and I'm a member of and represents the Bracey family of Windsor, Virginia. We object to the application of the Borough's Bay Improvement Association for a pier and six boat lifts on the grounds that the location they have applied for will interfere with the reconstruction of the Burroughs Bay Pavilion, which we own. The pavilion was destroyed by Hurricane Isabel in 2003. Reading along, the family consists of 10 brothers and sisters, and their families purchased the pavilion in 1989 and applied for and received all permits necessary to restore the building for its historical value to the history of Isle of Wight County, our personal use of the family retreat, and the use of fraternal and civic organizations. And it was open for a fundraising tour of the historical sites in Smithfield Library Association in the early 80s. When Isle of Wight County issued the permit, it was described as a single-family, two-bedroom retreat. The building was constructed about 1926 originally, allowed by a court order dated July the 6th, 1925, as been previously mentioned by Mr. Stagg, and described with its landing on the public acre. Public acre was established before 1900 by the courts to provide access to the water for county residents. As you can see on the attached sketch, which is made in 1995, and also a sketch which we presented with our application in 04, the pavilion was built on pilings about 125 feet offshore in the James River in Isle of Wight County at Burroughs Bay. 1995, we applied for and were issued a permit by MRC to reconstruct a 30 by 40 foot wharf where the original wharf had been, which was offshore of the building. In 1960, Isle of Wight County sold a public acre to Burroughs Bay Improvement Association, a corporation created to own the public acre and specify that all residents within a mile radius of the acre could be members by applying for and paying dues. We have submitted our dues for each year that we have owned the property. After Hurricane Isabel, we applied for reconstruction in June 04 under the guidelines of the Governor's Executive Orders 5866. In August of 2004, we received a letter from MRC staff saying that our request did not meet requirements. A copy of that letter is attached. The reasons given were that the permit in 1925 was for a wharf of public nature, and the use changed in 1989 when we were issued a permit by Isle of Wight County for a single-family two-bedroom retreat. There were no objections by upland owners mentioned as the cause. We continued to pursue our desire to rebuild by having counsel look into why we did not meet the governor's requirements. Wheels of justice turned slowly. In October 05, we received a reply from the Office of the Governor, copy attached, relaying information from the Attorney General's office stating that, quote, he understood the structure had been attached to upland property which belonged to an entity other than the pavilion owners. And he understands upland owners object to the reconstruction, and upland owners are interested in exercising their riparian right to build a pier from this property, and the reconstruction of the structure at issue would interfere with their intentions, unquote. We as members of the association are upland owners. By being a member of the association, we have the same rights as any other members of the association as far as access to the acre and access to the property. We were never notified that there was an objection by anyone to our rebuilding, and that we have been personally assured by Mr. Eppley and Mr. Bryant that they never made an objection to our rebuilding. The Burroughs Bay Association could build a pier from the acre at a location a little further downstream that would not interfere with our rebuilding and would be a much safer location, as pointed out by the Wetlands Board at their recent meetings. The attached sketch made in 1925 has been marked and shows in yellow the proposed pier and boat lifts, and in blue indicates the area that could be utilized. As you see, the yellow line shows that their proposal would cross our footprint, and if we ever did rebuild, we would not be able to rebuild as the building was originally. We sincerely plead that you not overturn the rulings of the Iowa County Wetlands Board. An overview. We are members of the association. We have owned the pavilion since 1989 and have always had access to our landing. We have a recorded deed of easement from the association, allowing us the right to improve, repair, maintain, or replace the existing septic system that is located on the county acre and are also known as the public landing. June 2004, we applied for reconstruction under the governor's executive orders. October 05, the OAG office informed us they understood we did not have riparian rights and there were objections. We were never notified of objections or plans to build a pier. In August of 06, I visited MRC offices here and reviewed the file under the Freedom of Information Act and found no record of objections. I was told by MRC staff that there was not a record of objections. November the 2nd, 06, I received a certified letter from Habitat Management with a threat of $25,000 per day fine if the derelict pilings were not removed within 60 days. The letter was very aggressive, and there were statements that are not fact. Copy of the letter with the highlighted statements are attached. Fact one, the commission did approve construction at this location in 95. Fact two, the association owns the adjoining upland property, and we as members of the association are also upland owners. Fact three, we do have legal right of access. We have owned the property since 1989 and have always had access. When the acre was sold by this county, implied access to the concerned citizens was included. And we as members of the association have access to the acre. I believe we were erroneously prevented from rebuilding under the governor's executive orders in 04. I feel that we should be permitted to rebuild under the same guidelines as the executive orders issued in 03, 04, and 05. We have, in good faith, pursued obtaining a permit to rebuild. It does not appear to us that there is any valid reason not to be allowed to rebuild, and hopefully under the guidelines set up under the executive orders.
Any questions for Mr. Scott from the commission?
Commissioner?
Mr. Tanker.
Mr. Scott, you're part of the association. Were you part of the discussion that led to the permit we have before us today on the part of the association?
No, the association has been very secretive, apparently, in their recent activities. You'll see in some of their renderings that they sent to the board, the membership used to be about 60 people. And now it's very few. They didn't say how many. A lot dropped out because of the storm. And the reason we weren't involved in any of these decisions were we never got notice of meetings when any of these decisions were made.
Any other questions? This, since I have significant knowledge of what's occurred here, is a very difficult situation. It's fraught with a lot of questions that pertain to riparian rights, actual membership or non-membership to associations, the fact that we, the commission did some years ago authorize additions to the existing dance hall, but that cannot be construed as a tacit acknowledgement that we were acknowledging as a commission that this structure was lawful at that time. When people apply for whatever they apply for, unless we have a dispute or we have a complaint, we act in good faith. And we did so in authorizing the, and I say we, I meant the past commission, in authorizing the addition. Where we are now is in a situation as far as, it's two very separate issues here. One is the pier that's before us. No ifs, ands, or that's the issue. But I just wanted to give a little background about the passion in which Mr. Scott speaks about the former dance hall and his intent to desire to rebuild. He firmly believes that he has every right to rebuild there, just as if it was before. However, I'm afraid that until we have some type of perfected document by the court, and I've got Mr. Crook's letter, quite honestly, anyway, that lays out Mr. Scott's and Mr. Crook's position on why this project should not go forward, because, of course, it would impede the ability to restore things to the status quo. That's not the issue before this commission today, and unfortunately, what we do today may ultimately impact the ability to return to the status quo. But until, quite honestly, we have something that is a document that can withstand the test of court, I regret to say that to consider what was there in the final deliberation of whether we authorize this other structure may not be appropriate. If we had a court order from the Circuit Court of Isle of Wight saying this is what's going on, Mr. Scott has riparian rights, I know what these letters say, but and it's a hard explanation for me to make because it pains me to do so. I know the family, and I know what was there, and I know the benefit that it served. But as I said earlier, what's before us is what's lawfully before us, and that is the application of a permit that has been reviewed by our staff and deemed to be appropriate. But I wanted to interject just to give you, the cases that we hear, and I don't mean it in the wrong way, but they're not just black and white with docket numbers on them. They have stories to them, and that's the story of this one. So having said that, the matter is before the commission for discussion or action. Mr. Fox.
May I ask counsel a question?
Absolutely.
Does the Forrest family and the Bracey family have riparian rights by virtue of the fact that they are members of the association, to all members of the association, therefore have riparian rights?
The association per se has riparian rights, not the individual,
not the individual
members.
Okay.
It's my understanding from this, Mr. Epperly, that, and this came up during, this is part of the public record of the first public hearing of the Wetlands Board, was that the Bracey Scott family sends dues every year, but the association does not cash their check. So the association deems that they aren't a member, I believe. That's what I was told. So you might want to know that information.
I wish Mr. Epperly, it's just important, I wish he were here to answer these questions.
I don't want to get too involved in, but that was stated publicly at the hearing, which they acknowledged that they've been sending them checks, but they either send them back or they don't cash them. I believe they said they didn't cash them. But
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have one question for staff, and it's just a point of clarification. Looking at Exhibit 2-1, which I assume is an appendix to the application, I think that's been submitted by the association or by the it shows that the proposed pier is parallel to and the terminus is offshore of the end of the derelict piling field. And then, I guess contradicting that, we've just been given a drawing by the protestant that shows or depicts the proposed pier crossing the existing piling field. Do we understand that the proposed pier would be crossing the existing piling field or is offshore of it, or do you know?
I don't have a copy of the drawing y'all have that was just submitted, but based on, and I haven't measured it in the field, so I can't tell you on this photograph, but if the drawings are correct that were submitted by the association that depict both the pier that's still existing upstream, which you see the end of it,
mm-hmm.
they are going out beyond that, which would put them at or beyond the end remnant pilings yep. of the associate of the Bracy Scott structure.
I don't see where it's
in. Now, whether that matches the distance that's shown on here, because I don't believe the hatch area that's shown on the association's drawing is exactly correct about where the dance hall was. I believe it was slightly further offshore than the hatched area in the association's drawing. But based on this drawing, it appears they're indicating that they're going to go out beyond the end of the existing remnant piles. Now, access would be in and around to get to the slips because they're inshore of the offshore L head. So, you know, some of those remnant pilings might still be in the way to access these slips.
Mr. Schick?
Looking at the photograph, I see that the outside pier is there, but I don't see the T head, the 40-by-30 T head. That's that I guess was approved in the 95. So, I think that might be the difference. Is that those pilings are gone?
Yeah, they're gone.
So because from this drawing here, it shows that this pier is 300 feet. And length, including the L head with the slips, the document that we were just given adds up to a little over 300 feet, probably 330 feet. I didn't add it up. 125. So, you know, it does look like that it would cross the overall length, but not the piling field that exists now.
That we can see, at least.
Right. Okay.
Any further questions? Matters before the commission for action.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt staff recommendation.
Motion made to adopt staff recommendations by Mr. Holland. Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Mr. Robbins. Any further discussion? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Mr. Scott, do you have a right to appeal this case? Just advise Mr. Crook of that as well. Thank you, sir. The next item on the agenda is Mr. and Mrs. Anthony Kluzewicz. Did I come close?
I think that's it.
Hey.
Okay.